On this Sunday night, swept away, terrifying scenes and dangerous rescues as deadly floodwaters consume a small Maryland town. Tonight, a state of emergency as a community tries to recover. The war of words escalating tonight between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump over Trump's comments about the parents of a fallen Muslim American soldier. Lead Alert, the city where danger in the water in most public schools is forcing kids to drink bottled water this year. And how he did it, surviving a 25,000-foot fall without a parachute. Nightly News begins now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. It happened so suddenly, so quickly. Last evening, just as people were sitting down to dinner, the rain started pounding Ellicott City, Maryland, and didn't let up for several hours. The flash flooding that followed turned deadly and left behind scenes of utter destruction. The state's lieutenant governor said it looked like a movie disaster scene, with the worst of it right on Main Street. Tammy Leitner is there and starts us off tonight.
It happened in an instant.
Get inside!
Powerful floodwaters sweeping through historic Ellicott City on a busy Saturday night.
There's people in the water!
Diners in this restaurant watching in horror as people hung onto cars floating down Main Street. Inside that car, a woman trapped. Residents jumped into action, forming a human chain to get her to safety.
I will never forget seeing that video of the human chain saving that person out of that car. I'll never forget that, because that tells me what people in Ellicott City are like.
In all, 120 people had to be rescued. Two persons lost their lives. 6 inches of rain in 2 hours was too much for Ellicott City. It took a direct hit. The water receded fast, but the damage was already done. Cars flipped onto each other, streets ripped apart, businesses destroyed.
It's just devastating to see some of the businesses that are totally gone, totally gone. Like, I don't even know where to start.
Maryland Governor Larry Hogan declaring a state of emergency. For residents victimized by Mother Nature, recovery will be a long time.
I just want to come and hug people and let them know that we're all going to be with them and we're going to help them get back to normal.
We got a chance to walk down part of Main Street where most of the damage happened. There's chunks of the road that are just completely missing, dozens of cars upended, and the front of buildings just ripped off. In one case, you can actually see the river rushing underneath where a storefront used to stand. Kate?
Just unreal. Tammy Leitner, thank you. The war of words intensified today in the presidential campaign over comments made by and about the parents of a Muslim American soldier killed in Iraq. They appeared at last week's Democratic National Convention. As Donald Trump tried to clarify what he said, Hillary Clinton went on the attack. Andrea Mitchell is with the Clinton campaign in Ohio and has our report.
Hillary Clinton wrapping up her bus tour in Ohio today. At a predominantly black church near Cleveland, tearing into Donald Trump for his comments about Captain Khan and his family.
I do tremble before those who escaped those other Americans.
Then at an iconic road stop on the way to Columbus, Grandpa's Cheese Barn, drilling down on Trump's remarks.
What do you think it says about his character?
Just reinforces the doubts that any American should have. About his campaign and the potential candidacy that he's offering to the American people.
Trump's attempt to clarify Saturday night in a statement calling Captain Khan a hero to our country, but saying the real problem, the radical Islamic terrorists who killed him and other radicals trying to enter the U.S. Khan's father reacting today on Meet the Press.
It sounds so disingenuous. Because of his policies, because of his rhetoric of hatred, of division, of dividing us.
And Khan's mother in today's Washington Post, after Trump suggesting she was silenced at her Democratic convention appearance, writing, "Because without saying a thing, all the world, all America felt my pain. I am a Gold Star mother. Whoever saw me felt me in their heart." A point Bill Clinton made to me on the bus tour.
I don't even know that I have anything to say. She's a Gold Star mother, and his father was powerful, and it must have taken everything out. Mother had to stand up there and go through it.
Hillary Clinton chiming in.
To launch an attack as he did on Captain Khan's mother, a Gold Star mother, I don't know where the bounds are.
Captain Khan's burial at Arlington the same day as Ronald Reagan's funeral was noted on nightly news that night.
He died on June 8th. Captain Khan was 27 years old.
Tonight, Americans paying tribute at his gravesite.
Thank you for your sacrifice. Yes.
Completing her bus tour here, Clinton called on Republicans to, in her words, put country over party, given Donald Trump's latest comments. Kate?
Andrea Mitchell, thanks so much. This firestorm over comments from Donald Trump, just the latest. Analysts say he's consistently kept to a playbook that seems to have controversy as its centerpiece. Katie Turr has been following the campaign from the start and has more on the pattern tonight.
Facing yet another whirlwind of condemnation, Donald Trump is sticking to his script, refusing to apologize, spinning the accusation, and trying to change the subject. We've been here before, when he claimed Mexico was sending rapists and criminals over the border.
They're rapists.
When he refused to call John McCain a war hero.
I like people that weren't captured, okay?
When he read Senator Lindsey Graham's cell phone on live TV.
And he gave me his number.
When he accused President George W. Bush of being responsible for 9/11 and then fought with the Pope 5 days later.
For a religious leader to question a person's faith is disgraceful.
This June, weeks of turmoil surrounding his attack on a federal judge's heritage.
He's a Mexican. We're building a wall between here and Mexico.
Gone after Trump repeatedly called Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas, congratulated himself on being right about radical Islam following the Orlando massacre, and implied President Obama sympathized with terrorists.
Is he avoiding having to show any real substance?
This entire campaign has not been about substance. It hasn't been about policy. Just because Donald Trump is uncomfortable competing on those grounds, he's much better with a quippy soundbite, with a reality show format, and we have been operating on his terms.
In the past 2 weeks alone, four different controversies. The most recent, his war of words with Keiser and Ghazala Khan. The outrage taking attention away from questions surrounding Trump's call for Russia to intervene in American politics and his changing description of his relationship with Vladimir Putin in 2013.
But I do have a relationship with him, and I think it's very interesting to see what's happened.
Today,
I have no relationship with Putin. I don't think I've ever met him. I never met him.
It all begs the question, if we've been here before, what will Donald Trump say next? Katie Turr, NBC News, New York.
There are new details tonight about the worst hot air balloon disaster in U.S. history. 16 people were killed when a balloon caught fire and crashed this weekend in Central Texas. Some of the victims have now been identified. Janet Shamlian is there tonight and has our report.
This is the last known photo of the hot air balloon at sunrise on Saturday, taken by Erica Gonzalez.
To me, it just seemed they couldn't climb. They were stuck right above the tree line.
Moments later, the unthinkable. The balloon bursting into flames and plunging to earth, killing pilot Skip Nichols and his 15 passengers. The NTSB says the balloon traveled 8 miles before striking a high-powered transmission line. And investigators have found what may be the biggest help, a number of passenger electronics.
And the FBI evidence response team was able to locate 14 personal electronic devices, including cell phones, one iPad, and three cameras.
Investigators say there was low cloud cover, about 500 feet.
Would you have flown with a 500-foot minimum on Saturday?
No.
Why not?
Because it doesn't give you room to get out of things that are in front of you.
Sports balloonist Bruce Laborna says the power lines, 170 feet tall, can be almost invisible from altitude. Tonight, portraits of the victims, including Dr. Mark and Sunday Rowan of San Antonio. They were newlyweds.
Him and Sunday were the cutest couple. Everybody rooted for them. They really were. I mean, she was the sweetest thing, and Matt was, you know, adored her.
Scheduled to play in a beach volleyball tournament after the balloon ride, he texted friends about the ride. This has been rescheduled a dozen times for weather, and I didn't think it would happen. Soon after this photo, his last communication, a picture of sheer tranquility, sent 12 minutes before the end.
investigators left the scene here for a period of time today, not because their work was finished, but because they said they had a very important and heartbreaking job to take care of, and that was to go meet en masse with the victims' families and tell them what they had found. Kate, back to you.
All right, Janet Chamlin, thank you. Beyond Flint, Michigan, another American city tonight is dealing with the problem of water tainted by lead. This time, it's the public schools in Portland, Oregon, where the water coming out of many of the faucets and water fountains has been found to have elevated levels of lead. We get more from national correspondent Miguel Almaguer.
Signs of a water crisis at Portland public schools. Water fountains turned off, bottled water handed out.
You should be ashamed of yourself!
Yeah. For parents and teachers, outrage when tests leaked to a local newspaper showed lead levels above the EPA standard.
We've been all drinking gallons and gallons of sink water because we didn't know.
Where does the buck stop when it comes to notifying parents that lead levels are high?
Well, clearly it stops with the superintendent.
And it did. Superintendent Carol Smith announced her early retirement the same day an independent investigation found the district failed to provide clean drinking water to students and staff. And now tests show high lead levels at least 75 Portland public schools. The federal standard for lead in drinking water is 15 parts per billion. But at one high school, fountains came back at more than 300 parts per billion. And at one elementary school, a sink tested at more than 2,500 parts per billion. The district's acting CEO has promised bottled water for the entire school year. But permanent fixes could be a long time coming.
We don't have the resources to do all the fixes. It's going to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars.
The district is offering voluntary lead screening for students and staff. Of the few hundred tested, 21 have seen elevated levels in their blood. Lead has also been found in schools in Boston, Newark, and Los Angeles. This summer, as parents prepare to send their kids back to school, they're asking what's in their water. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Portland, Oregon.
And the U.S. is dealing with the ripple effects of another kind of crisis, this one in Venezuela, where a crippled economy has thousands of people leaving that country in search of a better life. Kerry Sanders has more on that.
It looks like a marathon, but that's a march of the desperate. Crowds on a bridge walking from Venezuela to Colombia in search of food. This woman says we don't have food, we don't have medicine. In oil-rich Venezuela, anger towards the government, simmering for more than a decade, is now on the rise. The opposition, seeking to remove President Nicolas Maduro from office, say Maduro and his predecessor Hugo Chavez are to blame. The crisis for life's basic necessities producing a crime wave, and increasingly Venezuelans losing hope, headed to the United States. U.S. government statistics reveal more than 12,000 Venezuelans visiting the U.S. last year opted to overstay their visas rather than return. Victoria Lozada came here 2 years ago legally, leaving behind family and friends in search of the bare necessities.
Food, yes. Soap.
Soap.
Rice.
Like toothpaste.
Toothpaste.
Like basical things. Basical things that you need to leave.
At a warehouse in Miami, Venezuelan refugees come in search of help. Donations here give folks like Adriana Molina what's needed to set up a new life.
We arrived with two suitcases filled with dreams and hope.
Patricia Andrade, who left Venezuela 30 years ago, now runs the Venezuela Awareness Foundation.
They don't have money to buy basic things, for example, plates, coffee maker. They don't have nothing.
One reason so many come to Florida with so little money is the Venezuelan government only allows its citizens to bring $300 cash and spend only $700 on their credit cards.
Which means whatever wealth they may have is left back in Venezuela. Kerry Sanders, NBC News, Miami.
Still ahead tonight, Muslims attending Catholic Mass today, the show of unity in a country rocked by terrorism. Also, in a changing neighborhood, a program that helps longtime residents become part of the transformation. While the exchanges between Donald Trump and the parents of that fallen Muslim American soldier have become a campaign flashpoint here in the U.S., in France today, a different tone. Lucy Kafanov reports on a remarkable display of unity between Muslims and Christians.
Church bells tolling across France today, carrying a powerful message, calling together the faithful, Muslims and Christians alike, to show unity, solidarity in the face of unspeakable terror. Muslim worshippers welcomed at Mass today, young and old, in habits and hijabs. They sang, prayed, and remembered.
We are first of all brothers before being enemies.
This shell-shocked country has been reeling from bloodshed on its shores. In the past year alone, brutality at the Bataclan, a nightmare in Nice. But Tuesday's murder of an 85-year-old Catholic priest by two ISIS-inspired teens was aimed at the most sacred and vulnerable of targets. ISIS wants a war of religions, listing churches as targets in its propaganda magazine. The brutality of the two attackers, shot dead by French police, condemned by the Muslim community. They take our religion and do horrific things, this woman says. We are against these barbaric acts made in our name. Today, that message rang clear. France determined to hold on to its values, liberty, freedom, and brotherhood. Lucy Kafanov, NBC News, London.
When we come back, one man's astonishing jump into history. So if you look closely here, you will see one very important item was missing when Luke Akins jumped out of a plane this weekend over California's Simi Valley. He's the one in yellow. A parachute. The professional skydiver steered himself 25,000 feet down into a huge net, becoming the first person to jump out of a plane without a parachute or a wingsuit and live to tell about it. In another stroke of luck, somebody up in New Hampshire bought the only winning ticket in last night's Powerball drawing. It was the eighth largest jackpot at $487 million. The ticket was sold at a supermarket in tiny Raymond, New Hampshire. Of course, realizing a dream takes many paths. For some longtime residents of one neighborhood in Cincinnati, it's about the chance to become entrepreneurs as they watch their neighborhood change. Here's Olivia Stearns.
Over the Rhine in Cincinnati, booming and bustling. William Thomas grew up here and remembers when his hometown looked much different.
I remember I was walking up this way up the street, and cops said, do not go up that way.
Today, newcomers have renovated old buildings and brought in new business.
Just within 5 years, it is probably the most popular place for young professionals and for folks across the whole city to move to.
But the poor people who have lived here for years still struggle. These three college friends are hoping to inspire the lifelong residents of this community to become entrepreneurs and prosper along with their neighborhood.
Well, what we're attempting to do is make sure that we give them the ability to get in the game and play an active role instead of sitting in the cheap seats just watching it all happen.
Mortar offers locals low-cost courses in business basics and affordable retail space for pop-up shops. Every year, graduates get to pitch their ideas for a $10,000 grand prize.
This gallery isn't going to be like your regular gallery.
So just hire me as a web-based platform.
Mo Better Brands is a food experience.
And that's what they're coming. They're coming for a dream and a hope that they can create a better life for themselves and create a better life for their family.
Last year, Anton Kennedy won.
I mean, those are very different.
Now he's testing out a new clothing line in the pop-up shop after years of struggling to make ends meet.
Mortar gave me confidence and information that I needed to be able to be a great businessman. So without Mortar, I wouldn't be who I am today.
A testament to the belief that these new businesses will bind this community together. Olivia Stearns, NBC News, Cincinnati.
And up next, these boys of summer are breaking another kind of barrier. Finally tonight, as the U.S. and Cuba repair their relationship, some youth baseball teams from here and there are breaking that long-standing barrier, all while playing the game they love. Morgan Radford has their story.
All eyes on the prize. The sound of patriotism.
Oh, say can you see?
And a little healthy competition.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here in West Hartford, Connecticut, 14 Cuban baseball players stepped to the plate for what may very well be the biggest game of their lives. When asked how it felt to be here in the United States, they said it was an honor to represent their country.
Before this all happened, this just wasn't in the possibility, the realm of possibility for a Cuban kid.
I like never could have thought I would play with kids from Cuba in my hometown.
But this is a reunion of sorts. Last spring, players from West Hartford, Connecticut, boarded the plane to Cuba with 700 pounds of baseball equipment and school supplies, donating them to 14-year-old boys just like them. Now, Team Cuba is here. For 10 days, the Cuban players are staying with their West Hartford families, touring iconic sites like Cooperstown and Fenway Park, and meeting legends who broke barriers for both teams.
Could you have imagined this moment 20, 30 years ago?
No. Everybody in this world supposed to have a chance to be somebody if you want to be.
A chance to build futures and mend once broken relationships.
Even though like our government's feud, that doesn't mean we should, and they're really nice people.
Did they give you some competition?
Yes!
A home run for them, a home run for history.
One, two, three,
friends! Morgan Radford, NBC News, West Hartford, Connecticut.
It's good summer fun. That is NBC Nightly News for this Sunday night. Lester Holt will be in tomorrow. I'm Kate Snow, reporting from New York. I'll see you tomorrow at 3 Eastern on MSNBC. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.